This morning has been so good to share a meal together at breakfast and to have the opportunity to meet some new folks and to welcome some new folks to Baylor, some to Texas, some to the United States for the first time. We are delighted that you are here and to know you and to welcome you to DaySpring. It's a fun time of year to get to see all the streams converging again from sometimes summers are dissipated and to begin to come back then the next two or three weeks. So it's good to be here and to be with you. I don't title sermons very often. Somehow I've gotten away with that for a few years, and so it's kind of stuck, and I'm not going back. It's nice to not title them, to let them sort of take their place in the ongoing conversation of the church's life. We don't title parts of our conversation with one another, but so a sermon sort of functions in that way. But if occasionally a sermon could take a title, and it might be helpful, and if there were a title to this sermon, it would be something like Words for Starting New Things. It would be something like that, because that's on my mind this morning, as so many of you are about to cross thresholds. Some of you have crossed those in the last few days, but others of you are crossing new thresholds in the next few days. And my heart and my mind are particularly not heavy with that experience that you're undertaking, but certainly mindful of that experience. And in some ways envious, but in most ways not at all. And so mostly excitement for you that we get to watch you do that. And we want to cheer you on as you do it. So maybe if you need a sermon title, that can be your title. As we hear in Ephesians, Scripture teaches us to look carefully at how we walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Not as foolish, but in understanding. Not in drunkenness, but filled with the Spirit. In scriptural terms, how we walk is how we live. And what the church is called to first and foremost is to live in the life of Jesus. Some days that is pure bliss. Other days, that's a real challenge. Either way, this is our calling, to walk with the wisdom of the cross, to be imitators of God, walking in love as Christ loved us. Let us all remember that as we walk through all the doorways we will walk through in the coming days. This is a big week for a lot of us going back to school. What an enchanted season, these few days when summer lumbering along suddenly careens around the corner and squeals its tires into fall. Now, if you're new here, let's just go ahead and dispel any notion that you might have that we don't really mean fall as in autumn. That's like November. What we mean fall as in the time to buy school supplies and meet the teachers and all those front porch first day photos and then finding your classrooms. And for some, it's moving away from home for the first time, lugging boxes up to the fourth floor of your new home and getting ready for something totally new, something you've never done before. You're stepping across a threshold. You're opening a new door, beginning a new part of life. You're starting not just a new school year, but for some, a new school. You're moving to a new city. Some may be starting a new job. We're proud of you. We're so proud of you. And we're excited for you. These are enchanted days when all the possibilities and new opportunities are laid out before you. With Dr. Seuss, we want to clap you on the back and say, oh, the places you'll go. It seems like a Dr. Seuss moment. Dr. Seuss gives us hope, encouragement. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. Yeah, seems like a Dr. Seuss moment. It's also, let us be sure to take note, It is also, and many of us know this full well and feel it deeply, it is also a St. Paul moment. St. Paul, who gives us something a little less dreamy and nonetheless true. St. Paul, who says, make the most of the time, because the days are evil. If we're paying attention, it does seem like it can be like that. There's a lot going wrong in the world right now. There's a lot of darkness. There are troubling things. What Paul is saying is that every day has its pressure, its hardship, its dangers by which you may find yourself hard-pressed. These days can be a peril to Christian faithfulness. He knew it well. He was writing to Christians at Ephesus, a city he had already fled under cover of darkness because his preaching of the gospel had caused a riot. Paul knew something about pressure, hardships, and peril. And he also knew that wherever he was, in whatever state, in prison or free, he could give thanks to God. Days can seem like that, can seem so dark that we might even call them evil. And yet, in the midst of all that, put an oversized backpack over the small shoulders of a child and say, cheese. And the days just don't seem evil. They seem enchanted, full of wonder and possibility and joy and hope. And God created this day and every day, and every day is an occasion to say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What all this is wisdom. Only a foolish person wouldn't prepare themselves for inevitable hardships and challenges. And this year, we know, will have hardships and challenges when you'll need to remember who you are and that you are God's beloved child. You'll need to tell yourself that because some days you can feel lost and alone. And if you don't remember the one you're walking with every day, it can seem lonely. Remember that you are loved and God loves you, and people like us, your church, we love you too. Even if the days are hard, and some days will be. You know, even Dr. Seuss understood that. Remember what he said? Oh, it starts off dreamy and exalted. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and soon you'll take the lead. Wherever you'll fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you'll top all the rest. Except when you don't. Because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You'll come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're dark. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to come in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? In the day of failure or fear or uncertainty, Dr. Seuss's warning was that a person can end up in the waiting place. For Seuss, the waiting place is where people just wait for something to happen that will help them get out of whatever it is they're in. And all they do is wait for something that never comes. Seuss wants us to be people of action, to be bold and confident, to be hopeful and not just stuck. And if you do get stuck, to strive boldly to get unstuck. And you know, the funny thing is that St. Paul's wisdom doesn't sound entirely different. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are full of hardships and perils and all manner of things that can challenge your faith. Don't be dead to your life or this moment by anything that would keep you from being fully alive. Instead, live. Live wisely. Live boldly. Live with gratitude. It is the wise who see that a new day has begun in Christ and who live that out in their lives A new day has dawned in Christ and you are free. If we're truly alive in Christ, we don't walk trance-like, but with purpose, with joy, with hope, with love. Those alive in Christ walk a little different. They don't stride with the gait of the arrogant, neither do they slink with the slither of the cunning. They walk humble and confident in God's provision, God's presence, and in the knowledge of their salvation by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But sometimes they walk into middle school for the first time, and they're a little nervous. And sometimes they walk into a new high school, and they're not sure if they're going to fit in. And sometimes they move into a new dorm room and wonder if they're cut out for what's ahead of them, or even if they have any idea what's ahead of them. But mostly, at least at first, they wonder if they can find their Monday morning class. If you feel this way at all, a little anxious, a little disoriented, I think I know a little of how you feel. Because just last week, I did something I've been nervous to do for a long time. I went to New York City. Now, some of you think it's ridiculous to be anxious about going to New York City. Now, I sort of agree. I'm not saying it's rational. I'm just saying it is. Now, I've been to big cities all over the world, but something about New York always seemed like foreboding to me, inhuman. All those huge buildings, all those people, all those horns everywhere, it just seemed overwhelming in a place I knew I didn't belong. But I did it. Just like you'll take the step across your threshold into an experience that you've never had, I did it too. What I remembered on that journey is what we learn all along, is that days can be hard and enchanting at the same time. Days can be full of pitfalls and troubles and also full of divine possibility. It's true of every day and every place. These days are not just evil. They're also sacred. And yet some days can be full of troubles. Christians are not immune to it, nor are they in denial. The Christians can look reality, middle school cafeteria reality, high school hallway reality, college party, I'm not so sure I should be here reality, new job with new boss reality. We can look reality straight in the eyeballs and not blink. Only a con man would tell you that everything's going to be great every day. You'll have some lonely days. You may have a day when you're sitting alone at a lunch table. You may have many of them. You may have a day when you're not sitting alone, but someone else over there is, and you let them go on being lonely. May you not have many of those days. Make it right. Love someone. You'll have days of hurt and sorrow and days of questioning yourself. You'll have some hard decisions to make about whether to go along with the crowd or to do the right thing. Always do the right thing. Let the crowd decide if they'll follow you. Being alone isn't the worst thing that ever happened to anybody. St. Paul writes that the days are evil. He doesn't mean that they're evil in their nature, but that some days are full of trouble, hardships, testings. That's what the word means there, and of course it's true. It means that a new day may have dawned in Christ, but the sun doesn't shine on the same dog's rump every day, and some days you can't find a ray of sunlight. That's life. Those are the days we're told to redeem the time. To redeem the time is to not let the circumstances of the day control you, but to keep your eyes on Jesus who is with you. Your worth is not determined by the grade on your last test or by the whims of the group. You are precious in the eyes of Jesus and in our eyes too. You are lovely and beloved. And what we want most of all for you is that you wake up to awareness of just how loved you really are. You are not alone. Eberhard Arnold beautifully wrote, "Your life will have a kind of perfection, although you will not be a saint. The perfection will consist in this. You'll be very weak, and you will make many mistakes, and you will be awkward, for you will be poor in spirit and hunger and thirst for justice. You will not be perfect, but you will love. This is the gate, and this is the way. There's nothing greater than love. There's nothing more true than love, nothing more real. And so let us hand our lives over to love and seal the bond of love." God's Word encourages us to walk in love as Christ loved us. That means on your first day, tomorrow is it? The next day? Walk through those doors in the knowledge that you are loved. Walk on the solid ground of love. Let your feet fall there and let your feet be guided by compassion, hospitality, mercy, encouragement, righteousness. Walk in love over to someone all by themselves and be a friend. Walk to someone who's left out and bring them in. Find someone lying in pieces on the ground and pick them up. Walk in love with your teachers. They're working hard for you, really hard. Walk in love with your parents, even when you think they don't understand you. Walk in love with your friends. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. You are embraced in the Trinitarian love of God in whose image you were created, in the Son who gave Himself up for us, filled by the Spirit who put hymns and songs on our lips and hope in our hearts in the days of sunlight and in the moments when it seems the darkness is closing in and we don't know which way to turn. I was anxious about going to New York City. And I have to tell you, it's big. We walked around like hayseeds all weekend, looking up at the top of those buildings, wondering how they could stack so many people into each one and then do it over and over and over and over and over again. And despite all those people, everywhere you look, it's almost an inhuman place. Like nothing's to scale. Everything's too big, too impersonal, too rushed. Like a lot of places, it's an almost inhuman place. Almost, but not quite. One evening, we descended the stairs from the sidewalk to an underground subway station. You know that they make those underground nowadays? I won't even tell the embarrassing story of just how hard it was for us to actually find the subway station pretty much right in front of us. We were hunting for an Italian restaurant we'd read about in Brookland. I don't know what a Brookland is, but we were looking for it. But now we'd found the underground subway station. It was my role to figure out which train, how to buy the tickets, how to get there, and when to get off the train. And so we did it. We found the subway, bought the ticket, got on the train. Or at least a train. I was pretty sure it was the right one. I was pretty sure it was going the right direction. You know they go both ways nowadays? I was pretty sure I knew where to get off too. But all these questions and uncertainty were swirling around in my head when I felt a tap on my shoulder. A young man, late teenager probably, maybe early 20s, was standing there, baseball cap, gold chain around his neck, tank top shirt, standing there with two other guys who looked pretty much just like him. I was just about to just hand over my lunch money when he surprised me by asking me a question as if I could answer any question that he might ask. are we near downtown? What? I'm thinking, downtown? You're asking me? How was I supposed to know if we were near downtown? If I were above ground, I wouldn't know if we were near downtown. I know what a downtown is. Downtown is where all the big buildings are. But like, isn't everything downtown in New York? There's something else, this downtown? This is all going through my head I have no idea. I was a little embarrassed that not only did I not know if we were downtown, but I didn't even know if we were heading that direction or what downtown even was. If there were freshman subway riders, I was one of them. But then apparently, so was he. He turned away. When the train stopped and the doors opened, he leaned out of the train and yelled to someone hidden from my view on the platform, "Are we near downtown?" I'm thinking by now, tourist. This guy. I couldn't hear the muffled response from the New Yorker on the train platform, but I don't think he got his information. Doors close, train rumbles again. A few minutes later, the door opens at the next stop, and a woman gets on. She is not a tourist. She was not a freshman subway rider. She looked tough. She looked like she knew her way around a subway system in New York City. She looked like she could take my lunch money if she wanted it. Pale skin, black pants, small little backpack, combat boots, gray shirt, earbuds in both ears, dreadlocks down past her shoulder blades. If Brooklyn had a personification, she just walked on the train. I gave her space. He saw his opportunity. "Excuse me, are we near downtown?" "What?" Uh-oh, I thought. "Welcome to New York, buddy. Are we near downtown? Where are you trying to go?" "To see the statue." "What statue?" "The Statue of Liberty." She took out one earbud. She looked him up and down. Then she pointed to a map on the wall, a subway map. "You need to get off at this station," she pointed. "Then you need to transfer to this line," she pointed again. "How do I do that?" he asked. "Just follow the signs," she said. "Then you need to get off there, and then you need to walk to the ferry, and then you can see the statue." I listened to the whole exchange taking place. This guy had no more clue how to get around than we did, less really. A big tough guy probably in his other life, wherever that was, brought to nothing by New York City. He tried to take in everything she said, and finally he was only left to say, "Thanks, I'm not from here." And then she said, "None of us are. We're all in this together." And there it was, a moment of human kindness from someone unlikely to someone who needed it. None of us are from here. We're all in this together. Remember that tomorrow. Remember that when you cross your next threshold into the unknown. Remember who you are, and remember, in the beautiful words of Desmond Tutu, that goodness is stronger than evil, and love is stronger than hate, and light is stronger than darkness, and life is stronger than death. That victory is ours through the one who loves us. Let us pray. O God of light and love and life, bless us this day and in our tomorrows. Set our feet on the solid rock of truth. Let us see the world with your eyes of compassionate love. Fill our minds with your divine promises and the blessed assurances of our identity in you. As your beloved children, let us now have life and life abundantly. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.